You know, I think the second highest ranked thing was immunotherapy, you know, immune checkpoint inhibitors. So, you know, that's not necessarily something for the cooperative group to address because it's being addressed in multiple settings. We asked people to identify highest priority and also what they thought the cooperative group system was well suited to do. This one was high on priority, but low on need for the cooperative groups to intervene. I think leveraging the neoadjuvant strategies in hormone receptor positive breast cancer was another topic. I think people feel like we've done a good job with figuring out how to minimize surgery, you know, develop strategies for tailoring therapy or at least a pathway towards that in triple negative and HER2 positive. I think they feel that we're a little behind in hormone receptor positive, although I will tell you that, you know, and as you know, we have alternate ongoing, which is a large study of the neoadjuvant setting in hormone receptor positive breast cancer that is looking at various endocrine strategies and also whether the PEPI score, which is a partly clinical, partly pharmacodynamic endpoint, can help you omit chemotherapy, for example, and know and prognosticate after neoadjuvant endocrine therapy.
So while you're bringing that up, I was going to ask you, when we were talking earlier about neoadjuvant, about the issue of using genomic assays in the neoadjuvant setting. Harry Baer actually had a small study where they looked at Oncotype, and it kind of looks like it would play out the way you would think. We know from our surveys, it seems like maybe around a third or more of investigators actually utilize the 21 gene recurrence score in the neoadjuvant setting. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's a very promising avenue. As you know, we also in TBCRC had a study in the metastatic setting, in de novo metastatic disease, that suggested that the Oncotype could predict whether the patient would be better off with a chemotherapy-based approach up front or an endocrine therapy-based approach up front. So I think that kind of approach is, you know, we're already using it for chemotherapy decision-making. This is just another version of that. You know, there's actually, we have in one of the concepts we have in development is to pursue that a little further in the metastatic setting in the alliance. We'll have to see where that comes out. You know, the next on the list of priorities was actually trying to better leverage existing genomic, you know, essentially talent, right? We've got very engaged scientists who have given us these tools and figuring out how to better use them in other settings in hormone receptor positive HER2 negative disease. And also for tailoring local therapy. So tailoring the use of radiation, for example, and when you might need it or not need it. Those were also on the list. We have a very engaged group of surgeons and radiation oncologists in the alliance, and I think they feel that they would like to have a little help themselves, and I think that will be another topic. The idea of de-escalating and escalating, just as you know, you mentioned the St. Gallen presentation and paper I wrote for triple negative, I can tell you a very big area is HER2 and kind of taking the sorts of things that we were just talking about and figuring out how to use our emerging understanding of the biology of HER2 positive breast cancer to be more thoughtful in when we give a ton of drugs over many years versus the APT regimen. I mean, think about it. The range that we now use is paclitaxel and trastuzumab, that's it, versus, you know, 3 cytotoxics, 2 to 3 anti-HER2 drugs. You know, we need a little help in being a little more strategic in that. So I think there's a lot of interest in that. And I think there's actually some good pathways forward, some good avenues. Another topic that's always been a big one is how do you augment and emphasize adherence in our oral drugs, you know, particularly endocrine therapies. As you know, there's tons of data now about our patients take, you know, are non-adherent to a greater or lesser degree and more than a quarter of the time. And that, you know, the drugs don't work if you don't take them. So figuring out why they don't take them and how to fix that, I think, is a great topic. I mean, these are practical things. Comparative effectiveness, right? I mean, we are living in the era, blessedly, that quality of care is becoming a very important metric. And, you know, cost effectiveness as we're trying to decide where we're going to put our resources and trying to deliver highest quality care, cost effectiveness, they are asking us to incorporate cost-effectiveness research into our clinical trials, and I think you'll see more of that. Tailored therapy and triple negative was on the list, of course. And the last one was really, you know, number 2 was actually using immune-based therapies, immune checkpoint inhibitors. But on the list was also, how do we use TILs? How do we use the biologic and prognostic information from immune correlates, and what are the appropriate correlates? And give us some more detail about how the host interacts with the therapies that we give was actually another topic. And I think what Anne and I kind of came away from after this, the poll and the conversations around this was, you know, our community of practicing clinicians and our patients have really embraced the idea that we're a community of scientists as well as clinicians, and we should take advantage of all of the tools in the toolbox. But we should start with patient-centered questions. And I learned a lot from our poll, and I thought it was a very interesting one. So we were very happy to put it out there for everyone else to see.
We should note that subsequent to recording this discussion, pertuzumab was approved in combination with trastuzumab and chemotherapy as adjuvant treatment of patients with HER2-positive early breast cancer at high risk for recurrence. In addition, olaparib was approved for patients with deleterious or suspected deleterious germline BRCA-mutated HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer who have been treated with chemotherapy either in the neoadjuvant, adjuvant, or metastatic setting. This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.